I'm about to start the call. Hi, good afternoon, folks. This is Rajiv S. Khanna for immigration.com, the law office of Rajiv S. Khanna, PC. Let me just make sure that this call is audible to everybody. Can you folks hear me when I'm talking?
Yes.
Yes,
yes.
Thank you.
Conference muted.
Okay, folks, this is a community conference call that we hold every other Thursday. By participating in this call, you do not become our clients, and we do not become our lawyers. So there are no obligations beyond conveying of information. Also, remember this call is being recorded, so if you want to keep your identity confidential, you may want to, because this call will be publicly available to other people. I will answer the questions that have been posted on the forums first. After that, I will answer follow-up questions on the questions that have been posted, and then any new questions. I expect the forum questions to last about 15, 20 minutes, so we'll have plenty of time. Okay, let's begin with the first one, which is from Krish176. His family is in India, his 485 is pending, and he's changing his address. His concern is, do I have to go through fingerprinting again? And the answer is no. I don't see any reason why people who file an AR-11 for a change of address and who have already given their fingerprints have to go again for fingerprinting. I don't see any sense in that. So I don't think it should be necessary. Okay. Will it be okay if I don't change the address for the pending application for the coming 2 months? No. You are required by law to change your address. I think it's within 10 days. So no, please don't delay that. Make sure you change your address, and you should not be concerned about fingerprinting having to be done again. I don't see any reason for it. You can also double-check with USCIS information and see what they tell you. I absolutely see no reason for it. Okay? Next question is Rahul Mittal, 82. Rahul says, working as a software developer on H-1B, the company who processed his H-1, Company X is his brother's company. No green card filed yet. He's contracting for Company Y through Company X, which is his brother's company. So I've been offered to be a permanent employee of Company Y, and they can file green card. Company Y is bigger, and there's no relationship. It is safer to process green card through them, sure. However, I want to get my green card ported back to Company X in the future. Okay, so number one, can Indian citizen file AOS along with I-140? Not in EB2 or EB3 category, not until your priority date is current. And the priority dates are backed up multiple number of years, like EB2 is back to 2004. So that means if you get your I-140 approved today and your priority date is 2012, you will not be able to file for a 485 for 8 years. When can I switch back to Company X? I believe I can switch 185 days. First of all, there is no 185-day period for anything. It's 180. And the way it works is, if you want to change companies, there are two stages at which you can get something out of it. If you change companies before your I-140 can be approved and your I-140 is never approved, you get nothing. But if the I-140 is approved, whether before or after you leave the company, you can carry the priority date over to the next company, but they do have to start the green card all over again. So if you change at the I-140 approval stage, whether before or after, you will carry your priority date with you. They have to start the green card all over again. And that'll be difficult for you because it's a brother-owned company. Okay? Not impossible, but quite difficult. The 180-day rule is this. Once I-140 has been approved and 485 has been pending 180 days, you can change your job to any company as long as the jobs are same or similar. Remember, for priority date transfer, which is the first process I talked about, the jobs don't have to be similar. One can be EB2, one can be EB3, no problem at all. Okay. However, for for 180 day transfer, which is I-140 approved, 485 pending 180 days, the jobs must be same or similar. The good thing is you don't have to do the green card all over again. Okay. Does filing of AOS depend upon PD? Yes. You cannot file an AOS until your PD is current. So if you wanted to go back, it could be even at the I-140 stage or after 7-8 years when the priority date becomes current. Of course, the PD might move quicker than we can hope for, although I doubt that very much. Nikat says, wife's L-1B extension has been denied. I-94 is already expired. I'm a green card holder, and you're going to go for your citizenship. Well, let me explain to you a couple of things. First of all, if an L-1B is denied, filing a motion to reopen or an appeal gives her no right to stay in USA. It gives her no right to stay in USA. Okay? B-1, B-2, well, maybe you can try that, but the problem is she's already out of status. So it's very difficult to get B-1, B-2. Now, let's look at the worst-case scenario. So, in other words, she's got to leave. Okay, but what if you don't have her leave? What if she stays here? After 180 days, she becomes subject to 3-year bar. After 1 year, she becomes subject to 10-year bar. But that bar only kicks in if she leaves USA. If she stays in USA and you become a US citizen and you apply for her green card, which she gets in 6, 8 months, 10 months, as long as she does not leave USA before getting her green card, the fact that she had unlawful presence of 6 months, 8 months, 1 year, 10 years doesn't matter, she still gets her green card. So I'm not suggesting you take that path, but you need to know what your rights and liabilities are. Okay? So she is incurring unlawful presence. There is no way to stop it. But once you become a U.S. citizen, no matter how much unlawful presence she has, she'll be okay. These are some of the things that you need to know about. The decision is yours whether you want her to leave or you want to have her stay here illegally. Chandra wants to know, I have a 3-year degree from India and a 1-year diploma course, 15 years of experience. What do I do about getting into an EB2? Well, there is a video about how to convert to EB2 on my, you know, what you could do is you could start your EB3 application, get the EB3 done. In the meantime, start your degree. That way you have your priority date secured, then convert your EB3 to EB2. So watch that video and also watch the video on, I have in my blogs all these videos, on how, what degrees are credentialed, how do you determine what online degree is credentialed. So what I'm telling you is, do your EB3 now, at the same time start a degree. When the time comes to get your EB2, your degree is finished, do an EB2 conversion and transfer the priority date from EB3 to EB2. Okay? Next question is from Mani. Mani has already spoken with me. So Mani actually went ahead and did a paid consultation this morning. I think it was unnecessary, but he wanted to do it. So we are done with Mani's case. Next is Imi Ras. Fresh H-1B, while existing H-1B stamping is pending on 221G for 7 months. So he had an H-1 till 2014 with employer X, came for stamping, visa was rejected. Okay. And there was a reason, because he had moved the client location and proper paperwork was not done. Now, another company wants to apply for him. Okay. But would like me to travel to U.S. on my existing B-1, B-2. This is a very risky idea. Existing B-1, B-2 travel, because, you know, at the airport, CBP can give you hassles. I personally think it's a bad idea. Should they transfer my H-1B? Sure they can, and you are not subject to the cap. Okay? When did you leave? You haven't... See, after 12 months outside USA, certain choices have to be made, what is called remainder option for H-1. But as long as it's less than 1 year outside USA, there is no problem. Tell them to go ahead and do an H-1 transfer for you. Okay. Should my previous employer withdraw H-1B petition under 221G? No, there is no need. Let it stay. Can you have multiple H-1s? Sure, you can have multiple H-1s. Employer X is about to file my I-140. Please comment if this is advisable to work for someone and someone else is filing my I-140. Sure. You see, even though this company is filing, the company who processed your H-1 and through whom you got the H-1 denied, they are filing your green card, but you're going to be working for some other company. Theoretically, there's no problem with that, because as long as there is a permanent job that they want to give you and you want to take that job, the fact that in the interim you're working for somebody else should not be a problem. What choice do you really have? If the consulate denies you your H-1, you are stuck with it. So you're not doing this out of a great sense of delight. You're doing it because you're stuck with it. So, you know, all other things being equal, you do have to talk with your lawyers, make sure, you know, they look at the company's tax returns, everything is okay, your I-140 is likely to get approved. Sure, go for it. Okay? The new employer is a respected U.S. product-based company, 500 employees. Oh, I already did that. Can I do B1, B2? No, don't travel. I've spent about 5 years in the U.S. before I came to India for stamping, got stuck on 221G, and have an approved I-140. You should get 3 years of H-1. Okay? So after 12 months, you become CAP subject, but I think in your case, it's a very interesting scenario. I don't think USCIS 11 give it any thought to this kind of a situation. Personally, I think you're going to be okay. I mean, it's a long discussion. We can go into all sorts of permutation combination on what the government can do. All in all, I think if you file very quickly, it should not be a problem. If it is filed after 12 months outside USA, some issues, but even those should not be interruptive of your H-1 back into USA. So I think you are okay. Go ahead and apply for a new H-1. Do not travel for B-1, B-2, and your H-1 should not be subject to the quota. Current EB-2 visa bulletin and green card process impact if outside USA. Based upon the latest visa bulletin, by the way, I don't want to answer questions about visa bulletin and the demand data because I've asked one of my colleagues to prepare a detailed write-up, and I will give you a presentation over the next few weeks. I will help you understand how this whole process is set up, how it works, where the problems are. So I will talk about the priority dates and how they are set up, okay? I will not get into the theoretical aspects of it. But I'll talk about your particular questions. Can I do my green card if I'm outside USA? So I'm going to begin with question number 3, which says, if the employer in USA can continue with green card process of the employee, even if the employer is not in USA, the answer is yes, absolutely. As long as the permanent job is there and you are willing to take that job and the employer is willing to give you that job, they can process your green card even though you are not in USA. My wife is on H-4 and desperately waiting for EAD so that she can work. Since it may take much longer for us, I plan to go to India. Can it impact my existing green card process? No, as long as there is a job and you're willing to take it, although it's in future. Would my company need to shift my green card process to India? There's no such way to do that. Oh, you mean for the consular processing, right? In the end, at the last stage, when the priority date becomes current, if you're not already back by that time, you know, you can come back on H-1 anytime. Okay, if you're not back, then they can actually, after the I-140 process, they can send the paperwork to be processed, the green card to be processed from India. And that is called consular processing. But your lawyers will take care of all that. That's not an issue. Okay. My only concern is if the consulate asks this question that you're supposed to have this permanent job, then why did you leave? As long as you have a good answer to that question, no problem. Again, the question is the HR 3012 going to be passed? Nobody can answer that question. For the simple reason, I see so many bills come and go. Just because one congressperson has agreed to, back off of their stand doesn't mean that the bill is going to pass. There are too many things that can happen between the bill getting proposed and passed, so it's really impossible to predict how it's going to go. Next question is, GIUS, he wants to know, can I freelance during H-1 and visa transfer? The answer is no. At the bottom of today's discussion, I have posted a video, a link to a video right here. Okay? Read that. View that. Read the information in that blog entry. It tells you that you cannot freelance while you're on H1. Okay? Where was I? Let's go back. Next question is Hassan 7. He had a family-based case. His U.S. citizen wife filed a case for him in 2006, got stuck for the longest time. Then they denied the case based upon suspicion of sham marriage. She filed an appeal, which was also denied. Then she appealed to BIA in 2010. BIA remanded case back to USCIS office. Okay. They used very strong wording, disagreed with the USCIS on every reason. Case was reopened. How long does it take for the decision after it was remanded back? I don't know. Too many variables. I think it should be less than a year. How much lesser? I don't know. What procedure does USCIS follow since every point they made was put down by BIA? Basically, what they would have to do is affirm the I-130, send it back to the consulate, and then the consulate should call you for an interview. Okay? I'm assuming that you are not in USA, right? Let me double check. Or are you in USA? Oh, you are in USA. Can I apply for EAD and travel documents as I-45 is also open, reopened? Check with your lawyers. I'm only concerned about the 310 bar issue, because if you have any 310 bar issues, you travel, you can't come back. So in 485 cases, once BIA remands the case, 485 is reopened, you will get your EAD. Do you want to travel on the advance parole? Talk to your lawyers. Once your EAD is granted, by the way, name check and all is already cleared, so you should probably have your green card in hand within 10, 12 months, if not less. Okay? Then this question seems to have been repeated. This question, too, seems to have been repeated. Again, a repeat. I don't know what happened here. Bunch of repeats. This is a new one. Prasad 121. He says, my labor got approved under EB2 2 months back. My employer is in the process of filing my I-140. I heard that labor gets expired after 180 days. That is correct. I-140 should be approved before that. No, that is incorrect. I-140 should be filed before that, not approved. What if I-140 is denied after 180 days? Can we apply for I-140 again? Yes. Here's the interesting thing. And in fact, I dealt with this question today in a client conference in quite some detail. What happens is the initial filing of the I-140 must be within 180 days of the approval of the labor cert. Once the initial filing is done, and for whatever reason you have to refile an I-140, then the fact that the labor cert approval was way after 180 days, it's not a problem. So the second filing, we don't look at the 180 days anymore. Okay? You can apply for the I-140 again, even after 180 days. EB2 date got moved back to 2004. What does it mean? What does it mean? Well, it means that they will not process any, they will not issue any green cards for people whose priority date is after 2004. Whose applications will be processed when they say EB2 priority date is moving back? That means only people whose priority date is before 2004. They will get processed. Now, by the way, I want to add to this the fact that there's something called pre-adjudication. They don't do that necessarily in all cases, but pre-adjudication means even if the PD has slipped back, USCIS will keep the case ready so that they've pretty much approved the case and they're only waiting for PD to become current. That's unlikely to happen in many of these cases because the PD is too far back, but that's one of the things they can do. What is the next stage to apply for after I-140 approval? It's either AOS, which is 485, or if you're outside USA consular processing. Is it suggestible for someone to port from EB3 to EB2? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I still think that it's a good idea because it is likely, although not imperative, that EB2 might move quicker. Okay. I think it's a good idea for most people. Well, it looks like that's all the questions I have that were posted. I don't think I've missed anything. All right, folks, if you have any follow-up questions on what we just discussed, press 5-star on your phone. 5-star, please. Press 5-star on your phone. I have two questions, okay. Area code 703, go ahead, please. Hello, area code 703, go ahead. Hello?
नहीं वो तो नीरज पूछ रहा नीरज ने पूछना नीरज कह रहा था
हेलो ये बंद करना
बंद कर दो
The host has joined the conference.
Can you hear me all? Hello? Let's try again. Okay, let's see. Just a second, folks. Let me start with area code 570, actually. 570, can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine. Sorry, I locked myself out of the conference and I had to call back in. Okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Okay. I actually have my I-140 approval and then my 485 is pending. And unfortunately, I'm in the EB3 category and my priority date is 2006. So, you know, it's a long, long way till I get my green card. But in the meantime, I got laid off recently this month, and I am looking for a new job. Now, the question is, in the process, I've had 10 years experience. Now, I'm getting jobs that are in managerial positions, and, you know, and the salary difference is quite a difference compared to what it was when I applied. Now, is that going to be an issue if I stay in the same category, but I do have a higher, you know, earning position with, it looks like a promotion. I would consider that to be a promotion if I move from standard engineer to design engineer to a managerial engineering position.
Okay, guys, I had not invited new questions yet. I will answer all your questions. Let me put you on hold. Let me
take
the questions first, okay? I'll get back to you. Just stay on, okay?
Okay.
Okay, for now, guys, only follow-up questions on what we have discussed, okay? Area code 201, do you have a follow-up question? Area code 201, do you have a follow-up
question? Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
So the thing is, I was discussing about the possibility of a green card being still processed as if the person is out of country. So you answered that yes. So you mentioned that there's something called consular processing is at the way end. I mean, are we saying that it's only occurs if your PD becomes current? And obviously, once your 485 is approved, that means you are almost being given a green card now. That's when the consular processing thing happens, or it is like much before, is it at the time of the time when you actually apply for 485, that is EAD?
The way it works is, you're Kunal, right?
Yes.
Okay, Kunal, the way it works is, We all know about PERM. It's the same for everybody, whether you are inside USA or outside USA. Correct?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Then we all know I-140. It is the same whether you are inside or outside USA. Correct?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
The last step of the green card, which is kicked off only when the priority date becomes current, is
mm-hmm.
I-485 or adjustment of status if you are inside USA.
Mm-hmm.
It can be consular processing for the green card last step if you're outside the USA.
Okay.
So the last step of the green card, which is kicked off only when the priority is current, is either 485 or consular processing, depending upon whether you are inside or outside the USA. Are you clear so far?
Sure. Yes, sir.
Now, here's the interesting thing. Mm-hmm. Let's say your PD becomes current, and
mm-hmm.
you are in India, instead of applying, or you have started the CP, and you decide to come back to USA. Can you then change to AOS? Absolutely. If you are back in USA, you can file 485.
Okay. So, in fact, I would say the better thing would be, and if the if and when, whenever the PD becomes current, who knows when, but then you can actually try to, you know, get back to USA before filing. So that, you know, actually you can file adjustment of status rather than consular processing.
Well, I certainly like AOS better for a bunch of reasons. It gives
mm-hmm.
you the portability rights. It is also perhaps more accountable than consulates.
Mm-hmm.
Consulates run their little consulates like they are, you know, little fiefdoms, little kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
So I am not quite comfortable with consular processing in many cases. So, yeah, I like AOS better. In many cases, it is better.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense. But the only thing is the consular processing, if there is no option, at least consular processing is a second option. So even if you can't come back for whatever reason, your visa is expired or your whatever, you know, stamping is not there, or at least, you know, you can be in India and carry on with your DC process. So
that is correct.
Correct. I think that's what all I had for this one. And I think you mentioned the other question was that, you know, the data which we saw for demand and stuff.
Write an article and make a presentation for you guys within the next 2 weeks. We are quite busy at the moment. I did mention to somebody this morning, they are preparing an article for us. And I gave them all the pieces of information that they needed to put together an article. Once it's ready, I'll post it for all of you.
So it might be by next couple of weeks, sir. By next Thursday, maybe.
I certainly hope.
Okay. Thank you. That's it for me.
You're welcome, Kunal. Take care. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Okay. Kunal is done. Now, let's go to fine. I can't get. Okay. Area code 202, go ahead please, 202. Do you have a follow-up question?
Yes, sir, I do. First of all, thank you a lot for the community service you're doing. This is a great help for every one of us. This is Neeraj, and this is in regards to my wife, L1B, that got denied.
Sure.
I'm planning to file an I-539 based on her medical condition because she had a threatened miscarriage. So I have a question in regards to that, a couple of questions. My first question, sir, is that once the application is submitted, does that clock that you mentioned, the 10-3-year rule, does that stop sticking or that continues to tick?
Continues. Unfortunately, filing of an I-539 after the unlawful presence has kicked in does not
mm-hmm.
stop that running. However, if USCIS grants the B1, B2 with an I-94, which means they forgive her being out of status, then there is no problem. Because it's their, they can do that. It is within their discretion. Circumstances are quite extraordinary. You know, so you can certainly try that. But it does not stop the unlawful presence from running unless the case is actually approved.
Okay. All right, sir. A couple of more follow-up questions. Sorry, taking a lot of time. Where I'm in Virginia, so where I'm supposed to mail it I've read online it's supposed to be in Vermont. Is that the...
I am a complete duffer when it comes to these details because I don't deal with them. Fortunately, people a lot smarter than I am in our office deal with those things.
One more question is that while I'll be filing the 539, I'll be basing it on two grounds. One is that it's not advisable for her travel given the medical condition. And the second is that as I'm going to be a citizen next year, hopefully I will be able to process her green card. So she will be eventually getting a green card. So it's only a period of 1 year that is causing the problem. So do I need to file an affidavit of support as well along the I-539?
Okay. I was saying there are some things you have to just 1 second. There are some things you have to be familiar with. First of all, I-539 can be filed online, and where you want to file it, where you have to file it, all that is in the instructions on the website, USCIS website. So you want to read the instructions very carefully, whether you do it online or you do it by mail. In either case, instructions, whatever they say, that's where you file. Okay?
Okay.
But your reasons, the fact that she is going to file for a green card itself can normally be a ground for denial of a B-1, B-2 application.
Okay.
Okay. B-1 B-2 applicant is supposed to have non-immigrant intent at all times. However, you must tell the truth. Don't play any games with the government. Tell the truth. It is still within their discretion to give you the B-1 B-2.
Okay. And, sir, knowing the facts of the case, what is your gut feeling? Like, what are the chances we have?
Look, all the legal mumbo-jumbo aside, I would certainly file the B-1 B-2, present my case, present documentation from the doctors, including the past history of troubled pregnancies, and I'll certainly try to get B-1, B-2 in USA if I can. But I would be prepared that she is going to get unlawfully present and she'll be subject to 10-year bar by the time you are ready to file for her green card as a citizen.
Okay. Understood.
Okay?
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck with the baby and good luck with the I-539 in that order.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We have two more questions, and I'll get back with the question about getting too much money as a manager. I wish I had that problem, huh? Okay. This is, it looks like a call from overseas. 9233 is a bunch of numbers. You know?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yes. I have a question. This is not a follow-up question, but there are new questions. So should I ask it right now or should I go on hold?
I'm going to ask you to hold. I'll get right back with you, okay? Just hold on.
Okay, no problem. No problem. I'll wait.
Thank you. Okay. Area code 703, go ahead, please. You have a follow-up question? Area code 703, do you have a follow-up question? 703-885, are you there? Okay. All right, folks, now I'm going to answer. Two hands I already have up, 570 and the overseas call I just talked with. If you have any other questions, any questions at all, press 5-star on your telephone. Any questions at all, new, old, doesn't matter. Okay. Madam Manager, so your situation, can you hear me?
Yes.
Your situation is you have a 485 pending, correct?
Yes.
It's been pending more than 180 days?
Yes, it's been pending for 6 years.
Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. It sucks. It really does suck, okay? I'm absolutely horrified by what a civilized country can do to people who enter this country obeying all its laws. But that's what we are
Unfortunately, doing. I actually would have had 5 years' experience if my lawyer would have advised me to wait 2 more months, because when I applied, I had 4 years and some months' experience. I just needed a couple more. But the other question I had is because – If you look at from when I started my job to when my priority date is, it is exactly 5 years, and I'm guessing that doesn't matter.
Okay, yeah, that doesn't matter. Let's start dissecting your problem from every angle, okay?
Okay.
First thing is, we have to protect the current green card. What we already have in hand, we don't want to let that go. What do you need to do for that? You need to get a same or similar job in USA. Anyway.
Hmm.
The question is, what is same or similar? There are two videos I have on this. I do videos a lot these days for some reason. I think it's a lot easier than sound. See, I'm a two-finger typist. For me, typing takes forever. Okay, so what you do is you first look at if the job is same or similar. Watch those videos. I would strongly recommend whoever your lawyer is going to be for an AC-21, let them review the two jobs, what you used to have and what you are going to get, to give you some idea of the chances of success in case the government questions. The fun thing about AC-21 is you're not required to inform anybody. When you change,
I actually have done this before. I have applied for AC-21 four or five years ago when I did move, so I am a little bit aware of the process.
Okay, good. So AC-21 is something you want to assess. Then what you want to do is either for the same job, preferably for a different job with that employer, you want to also start an EB-2 case so your priority date can be transferred from EB-3 to EB-2.
That is the problem. I think the employers are kind of hesitant to do that at this point, and that's why I just wanted to see what are my options if I stay in the EB-3 category, and what can I do, like how much flexibility do I have to get a different job?
Well, you see, the problem is the definition or the legal requirement is the job must be same or similar. See, same we understand. That's a simple English word. Similar is something we don't understand. Nobody really knows what similar means. Okay? For instance, let's say I was a software engineer, and then I got a job as a lead software engineer. Is it similar? Yeah, I think so. What if I became a product manager? Is that similar? I don't know. What if I became vice president operations software manufacturing? I don't know. What if I became CEO? No, I don't think these jobs are similar. So, you know, it's a very fine area of different shades of gray. Therefore, people in your situation should definitely look for a job as similar as possible. If they cannot, if the jobs are too dissimilar, they are uncomfortable, they should go ahead and start a second green card at some point of time to cover the new job. That is to prevent the problem of the jobs being dissimilar in future, as well as giving you the benefit of converting from EB-3 to EB-2. So that second green card gives you two things. It gives you a safety net in case the AC-21 fails, and it gives you EB-2.
Right.
So what am I suggesting? Find as close to similar as you can, then take your chances.
Hmm.
Remember one thing.
Because I can get a similar job, but it will be managerial position. That's why I'm trying to say that if it is exactly the same, because I'm an environmental engineer, not software, but I do the similar kind of work, but I will be managing other engineers as well. So would that be similar?
Look, I think that's similar. Okay?
Okay.
I can't say it is same. I'm not looking at the jobs. But let's say if somebody from being a complete technical person. By the way, my first degree is in biology and chemistry, so I understand a lot about environmental sciences as well. Let's say I'm doing remediation. Okay, I'm a remediation expert. I go to these sites and I make sure that they get cleaned up. Okay.
Right.
Now, that is my green card. Then I get promoted to leading that effort, including still doing the technical work, which is 50, 60, 70% of my job. I think it's similar enough. I think we are okay. But we have to look at the jobs. Now, I can't just give you an opinion in vacuum.
Yeah.
I think you should have these looked at. You may not have a choice. Ultimately, you need a job. Everybody needs to eat. So, you know, take your chances. The good thing is, even USCIS is quite confused about what is same or similar. Okay. And where there is very sketchy law, the negative side of that is that we don't know what we are doing. But the positive side is neither does USCIS. So we can pretty much convince them about certain things, and they need to be convinced sometimes, and they must be convinced. Otherwise, that's what the good Lord made the courts for. We take them to court, and we let them explain to a judge how a law that has been passed in the year 2000, now we are in the year 2012, they still haven't given us regulations. 12 years.
Right.
Okay? Let them explain that to a judge. Let them explain to a judge how they have been running this very important area of the law, which was passed by Congress specially to protect people like you. They've been running them through ad hoc memoranda. Aji, aaj dil kiya, this is the law. Tomorrow they feel like something else, that's the law. Okay? Let them explain that to a judge. I would like to see that happen. So my point is, you can be aggressive at this point of time. I don't think you have a choice. But on top of that, if you are aggressive, I think you can fight this thing out.
Yeah, I hope I can. But at the moment, like I said, the people, the employees are kind of not sure. They want to sponsor the green card process all over again at this stage. But I wanted to see what it's gonna affect my existing EB3 category application if I get I'm in managerial position. They're giving me a raise 30 plus compared to what it was before. Now, is that going to be an issue if they? Even if it's a similar job?
Salary can be an issue, but let's look at this. When was your first labor cert filed?
2005.
Okay. So in 7 years, if I get 20, 21, 25%, even 30% raise, what's the big deal?
Yeah, that's my question. Hopefully they don't expect us to not grow. That's my I did review your blog, and you did say that if you have a salary different, it might be an issue. That's why I wanted to bring it up and see.
I will say that it might be an issue, but again, if push comes to shove, I would like to see USCIS explain to a judge how it is okay for a foreign worker who's supposed to not be exploited, it's okay for them to have the same salary for 10 years. That's nonsense.
Well, that's a good point.
So,
okay, I think that does answer my question, and I really have to tell you that this is amazing that what you're doing, and I really thank you for that and your patience and everything. But I did have one quick question on top of this. Because I said I got laid off, I am looking for a job. In the meantime, is that going to be an issue if I file for unemployment benefit? Is that going to be a flag of any kind?
I don't think of unemployment as being any kind of flag, frankly. Okay? I have not tested this legally, but as far as I understand, unemployment insurance is a private insurance which is paid into by the employer. Your employer
right.
pays for your unemployment insurance. So it's like collecting on an accident policy. It's not against the law. I personally
okay.
don't
think it
would be a problem.
Right. And in the meantime, I did get a part-time job right now. I mean, I guess they're going to offer me, but is that okay to get a part-time job while you're waiting to find a full-time job?
Even if you wanted to stay at home and watch soap operas all day, that's okay. As long as you have a permanent similar job by the time they get around to deciding your case or send you an RFE.
Oh, okay. Okay, the weird part is I went to the immigration center and asked them all these questions, and they gave me different answers, and I think that's why I wanted to make sure I check with somebody else to get a second opinion, because it was very weird to get answers from them, because they basically told me that I could find a part-time job or I could find a full-time job in a different industry. It doesn't matter as long as I have a similar job when they process my green card or when my priority date becomes current. Then I need to have a similar job as when I filed for my green card. Otherwise, they said it's going to be okay. But the person who answered didn't seem like he had a lot of experience, and so I just wanted to get your take on it.
It's usually a bad idea to try to get good information from the government. They don't have it.
Okay. All right.
Good luck to you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, I have two more questions left. Area code 9. Hello? Drop us in the line, I can't hear you. If it's an overseas call, log in. unmute you. Okay, the overseas call that I was speaking with just a minute ago. Go ahead, please.
Hello. Yes. Mr. Ray, I have some questions that my family has a B2 and they are in the U.S., right? I don't have that B2. They have a B2. Now, I want to transfer their status to the E2 by buying a business over there. So can they do AOS or they have to come back to get their E2 stamp in Pakistan?
Technically, that's called COS, not AOS. AOS is used for green cards. For one non-immigrant like B to another non-immigrant like E, we call that COS, change of status, okay? Now, it is possible to do a COS. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Are you currently in Pakistan or are you in USA? Sir? I don't know what happened. I think I lost connection. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I think I lost this gentleman. I hope you hear this recording. You can do an adjustment of a change of status from B to E for your family. It all depends upon what they told the consulate when they got the B1, B2. I don't want you to file for an E change of status if the purpose of their visit was solely to do tourism in USA. Because then the counselor can take the position that, okay, you lied to us when you obtained the B1, B2. It's better then, in that case, to go back to Pakistan and get your E-visa stamping there. Now, if you are in USA already on E, and they came to visit you, and they did not, you know, make any misrepresentations to the government why they are coming, you can do an E-conversion. I don't see any problem there. Okay? I trust that answers your questions. Folks, anybody has any other questions? Press five star on your phone. Press 5-star. I have one hand up, but I can't hear that line. It's just too much disturbance. I'll try one more time. No, they've hung up. Okay. Very good. It's been good talking with you, and I'll see you again in a couple of weeks. Thank you for being here.